This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. 2 years ago, Apple introduced us to Siri when they brought out the iPhone 4S. Last year, Apple introduced us to a slightly larger iPhone with a new connector called the iPhone 5. Well, now here we are rolling into September again, and Apple has announced that on Wednesday they will have another big announcement to tell us all about what is going to happen. Excuse me, I said Wednesday. It's going to be this Tuesday, September 10th, that they're going to make a big announcement about a new iPhone. They never say ahead of time what the innovations or improvements in it will be, but there's been lots of speculation, and my next two guests may have some idea of what to expect from the new iPhone. They are Lex Friedman, a senior writer, and Dan Morin, a senior editor, both from Macworld. Hi, guys. Welcome to America Weekend.
Hey there. Thanks for having us.
Lex, I'll start with you. What's one thing that you expect to see in the new iPhone or that you've heard through the electronic rumor mill is going to be in the new iPhone?
You know, I would say one of the biggest rumors that I think has a lot of credence to it is the notion that the new iPhone will have a fingerprint sensor, or at least one model of the new iPhone. That way, instead of requiring a passcode when you want to unlock the phone or access certain private data, you can just hold your finger in a certain spot on the phone and it'll scan your fingerprint and recognize you as you.
Is that anywhere close to enough to get me to buy a new iPhone?
You know, I think that any new iPhone is enough to get a lot of people to buy a new iPhone, because on top of that, it's always going to be newer and faster and more powerful. It'll undoubtedly have a better camera and better processor and all those things, so it'll be as good as any other iPhone, but also better.
Dan, are we going to have the same plug in this one as we did with the iPhone 5, so those of us who are still with the 4S are going to say, well, I don't know, I've got accessories for my phone now, and I don't want to have to buy a whole new line of things like my clock radio.
Yeah, I think we can say with a pretty good degree of certainty that they're not going to go and change that up all over again, given that they just did it last year, and clearly they've established that new Lightning connector as sort of their path for the future. So any of your accessories you bought in the last year, you're probably safe.
So, Dan, are we going to be getting a cheaper iPhone? I hear rumors about really, really cheap.
Yeah, well, it's unclear just how cheap, but it's clear that Apple does want to target certain markets where they don't necessarily have the same subsidy setup as we have here in the U.S., you know, where you buy your phone for like $200 and you sign it to your contract. So markets like China and Japan, they don't tend to operate that way as much. So it's probable that Apple's going to try to target some sort of cheaper iPhone, maybe with a plastic casing instead of a metal one that might be a little bit cheaper, but it's unclear exactly how much cheaper.
Lex, are we looking at Apple perhaps trying to figure out how to compete with the larger things that other people are making that aren't quite as big as the iPad but are bigger than the iPhone? Could they be going for kind of a hybrid of a phone and tablet?
I'll tell you the truth. I'd be very surprised if Apple came out with one of those right now. You know, the iPhone 5 was the first iPhone to have a larger screen than any of the prior iPhones, and that required some decent work on developers' parts to update their apps to fit the iPhone 5. I don't think it will be surprising if one day Apple releases a larger screen phone. My own take is that that's probably another year away. I think that on these in-between years, on these milestone iPhone releases like the 4, and now 2 years later came the 5, and now we're in this in-between year, just a year after the 5, I'd be very surprised if there was a significant screen form factor change.
Okay, but Dan, the 4S was a big change from the 4 because it added Siri. Do you expect there to be any real game changer in the new, what are they going to call it, the 5S?
Yeah, it's probably going to be the 5S, and Lex already mentioned, obviously, the fingerprint scanner, which is sort of the big thing that's been rumored. The only other major change that we've really heard about is that and this is more cosmetic than anything else, is that the new iPhone 5S might come in additional colors, including a gold color, which a lot of people have been talking about, and possibly a sort of silvery one as well. But right now, we also don't have much of an idea what other surprises they might have up their sleeve.
How are they doing in comparison to other phone companies now? I mean, they were the guys who essentially created the field, but the rest of the industry's caught up, hasn't it?
Well, you know, Android has certainly made great inroads, and they're doing very well in terms of market share. The important thing to see with Apple is that they still make money hand over fist. So they may not be selling as many phones in some places globally. They still do pretty well here in the U.S. I think they've taken market share away from Android here, but they're also still incredibly profitable, and they're the most profitable company in technology. So they're doing fine. They're not going to go out of business any day soon.
Lex, did you want to add something to that?
I think Dan nailed it. I mean, Apple's focus is not on how many handsets it can sell, but how much money it can make selling them. And nobody can really compete with Apple in that space right now.
All right. Now, one of their bigger competitors, of course, and a company that they've been in court battling for a while, is Samsung, which has recently, just this past Wednesday, introduced a digital watch. And Qualcomm and Sony are also introducing smartwatches. Are we going to get an iWatch from Apple anytime soon, Lex?
You know, I think it would be crazy to assume that Apple isn't thinking about wearable technology. So I think that it's a near certainty that Apple's working on something in the wearable space. So I would say yes. I would imagine that Apple will have a wrist-worn device of some type that will connect to an iPhone, be able to display some data, probably do some fitness tracking kind of things as well. I don't know that this is the year that it's going to happen, only because this year is almost out, and I can't imagine that it's too well-kept a secret right now. There are plenty of rumors that Apple could be building an iWatch, but without a single leaked photo of anything coming out of Apple's China supply channel, I just can't imagine that there's going to be an iWatch unveiled next week.
Dan, I stopped wearing a watch when the iPhone came out. I was happy to have something that combined the thing on my wrist with the Palm Pilot I used to carry and the iPod I used to carry. It combined my entire world all into one device, and I can't see myself going back to ever putting anything on my wrist again. Why would the world want a smartwatch?
Well, it's not for everybody. I agree. I've used some of the smartwatches that are already out there. I have one called a Pebble, and the one thing I mainly like about it is that it's capable of receiving certain notifications without me pulling my phone out of my pocket. So if I get a text message or an email, sometimes it's, you know, seems a little more rude to pull my phone out of my pocket and look at it right then, but I can sort of glance at my watch and say, okay, you know, I can note that for later. It's also handy for being able to do other things, screen your calls, stuff like that. So, and control your music playback is another big one. So I can, you know, skip the songs, pause my music without having to take my phone out of my pocket. And it's unclear, of course, what Apple might put into such a device. As Lex alluded to, a fitness tracker might be really handy. There's a lot of people have gotten into that with their Fitbits or pedometers and that kind of stuff. So I think that there's potential for something that can do really interesting tasks, but we'll have to wait and see exactly what Apple comes up with.
Did you kick money into Pebble on Kickstarter?
I did. I was a backer, and I got one pretty early, and I've enjoyed it. It's a pretty cool device.
$10 million they raised for that. I think it's the biggest fundraiser ever in Kickstarter history. Pretty amazing story there. But how will that do against Sony and Qualcomm and Samsung and eventually Apple?
Right now, I would say that the what Pebble and even MetaWatch, a Pebble competitor, have in common is that based on Samsung's own battery claims, these guys are doing better. Samsung says you'll have to recharge your watch every day, so they want you to treat it basically the same way you treat your cell phone. I don't want to have to do that. I plug in enough stuff at night now, so my Pebble, I can charge once a week or so, maybe once every 4 or 5 days, and that's a lot better. So I think that, you know, it's going to take the big guys, the more features you pack in and the brighter the display and all that, the more power it's going to consume. So until somebody can come up with a watch that charges based on kinetic energy alone, I think there's going to be plenty of competition in the smartwatch space.
Well, Lex, I think Dan's hit on the million-dollar idea here. We need wireless electricity.
We got to make it happen.
tell me what you expect the competitors to do. Are they following Apple? Are they watching what they do, what they announce next week, and then they'll roll out their own things? Or are the competitors, now in the Android world particularly, are they pushing Apple to innovate?
I would certainly say that everybody's, you know, all the companies involved borrow from each other. You can't look at a smartphone today and not see the impact that the iPhone had, as you alluded to yourself a little bit earlier. And, you know, when you look at a feature like, say, Notification Center, Android had an implementation of that before the iPhone did. But in terms of are the competitors going to be watching, yeah. I think that Apple is pretty much the R&D team for Samsung and will continue to play that role for a good long time. But they're going to watch. They'll make their, you know, the competitors will come out and say, this is nothing new, or we've had this feature for a million years already and Apple is imitating us. But at the same time, I think that we'll see Apple's unique spin and ease of use, innovation, and that sort of thing, or whatever it unveils, And we'll see its competitors try to emulate as much of that as they can as time goes by.
It's ironic because Steve Jobs, when he ran Apple, was famous for yelling at Bill Gates for stealing the ideas behind what eventually became Windows. And now here they are essentially looking at what the other guy's doing and saying, oh, that's a good idea. We'll do that ourselves. And it's going to keep going back and forth like that. All right. So this Tuesday, September 10th, will be the day for whatever it is that they're going to announce in Cupertino for the new Apple iPhone, probably called the 5S. We'll see what the pricing looks like. We'll see what the features look like. And we'll see who wants their fingerprint all over their iPhone for a good reason instead of just a smudge. Lex Friedman and Dan Morin from Macworld, thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thanks for having us.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks. America Weekend.